so many areas that are impacting facilities' five-star quality rating, and managing those areas can certainly be challenging, especially given the state of the changes in our industry currently. But as you know, health inspections and staffing and quality measures all comprise the many components that can help or hinder your facility in the overall five-star rating. With the increased focus on quality, as you know, we're in full swing with the quality reporting program. That's certainly another stand-up Tuesday call, but the quality measure we're going to talk about today is actually included in that quality measure program or the quality reporting program. So we'll cover going through this today is not only going to cover the quality measures and one of them that's impacting the five-star rating, but also the quality reporting system. But with all of that, it's really imperative that as providers, we have a good understanding of the quality measures and how the processes that you put in place in your facility can impact not only the quality measures and the reimbursement at many different levels, but also the people that we're caring for in the communities, which is why we're all doing this and the most important thing. So the quality measure that I was asked to talk to you about today is the percentage of residents that are experiencing one or more falls with major injury. Now, this is a long-stay quality measure, which means the residents that are in that are falling into this quality measure have been in your facility for greater than 100 days. So 100 or less days is the short stay measure, and greater than 100 days is the long stay measure. And this measure is reporting the long stay residents that have experienced one or more falls with major injury in the target or look back period. And for this situation, it's one full calendar year. So it is, again, important to note that this is a quality measure that impacts the five-star as well as the quality rating system. The first thing that we really recommend that you're looking at when you're looking at this specific quality measure is making sure that the MDS is coded accurately. And that's really for all the quality measures. The CASPER reporting, you can pull down the specifics of the quality measures and identify what residents are triggering which of the quality measures. But this is one that you can just look and see who's being coded for these quality measures and making sure that they truly have had that fall with the major injury. Major injury includes bone fractures, joint locations, or dislocations, sorry, closed head injuries with altered consciousness and subdural hematomas. So it truly is a major injury. If somebody falls and they have bruising or it's not one of those major injuries, you want to make sure that that's not being coded here. And if you're able to confirm the correct coding on the MDS, then the next thing you need to do is move into root cause analysis. You really want to start from the beginning, really from the notification of when the fall occurred, and start there with looking at your root cause analysis. And what is your process for doing that? When you're discussing your incident reports, whether you do that daily at your morning meeting or if you have a weekly falls or incident report meeting, there should be a discussion on the appropriate items and notifications, certainly. So is the incident report completed? Did we notify the doctor? Was the family member notified? All of that is very important, but really getting down to the root cause, considering all the processes and things that are surrounding that fall with major injury, and really any incident this is appropriate for. So some of the things that you want to consider is talking to the resident and asking them the questions related to the fall. And, you know, this seems like a really simple task, but I can't tell you how many times I've sat in these morning meetings or falls committee meetings or injury meetings, whatever you want to call them, and the discussion is surrounding the residents that fell. Was the incident report completed? Was the physician notified? Was the family notified? Were interventions put in place and put on the care plan? And I just ask the simple question, does anyone know why the resident fell? Has anyone had a conversation with the resident and asked them why they fell? Now, residents may not always be able to answer the question, but you can do some investigations surrounding the incident, which we're going to talk about, but really getting to that root cause and understanding why. It's really important to make sure that you're following through with all of those. So when, you know, monitoring when these incidents are occurring, have you monitored the resident's schedule? Have you monitored your own schedules? Sometimes these things are happening during change of shift. It may be at a certain time of day for that specific resident, but really looking at these things and also looking at the resident's schedule. If they can tell you that when they come into the facility, that's ideal. Making sure that you're working around their schedule and not your own. So what time did they typically get up? When did they go to bed? What were their toileting habits? Really having a good understanding of all of that can help with mitigating some of these falls. And getting that understanding, if the resident can't tell you from the family members or someone that is very familiar with the resident and their life patterns to determine what may be causing that fall. You know, where was the location of the fall? Can you tie that to any attempt that they were trying to do something else? Maybe they had a toileting need. Maybe they thought they were going to work, or that's the time that they always got up for work. Maybe they were getting up because they needed to care for someone, because they have cared for someone their entire life. So really looking at when it occurred. Why? Ask and determine if you can draw any conclusions as to why it happened. It's amazing how many residents with falls aren't asked why they fell or what they were doing or trying to do when they fell. Finding out what actually happened and make sure you have that all documented. Was it equipment related? Was the floor wet? Was there an obstruction on the floor? Was the staff trained properly on transfers or on the equipment that may have caused that incident or fall? How did the fall occur? Who was there? Were there any witnesses? You need to take all the information that you've learned and you need to use that information. It's important to track and trend the data. You know, just discussing that incident report and what's been completed isn't enough. You need to have a good understanding of the past and present trends that can help with mitigating this risk. Consider different problem solving. You know, for instance, where is the fall located? I was with one facility working with them on this quality measure, and there was a resident that was by far the most frequent faller in the facility, and they found some trending where a large majority of the falls occurred in a specific location in the hallway. The resident had some memory loss and cognitive difficulties, so he was having trouble telling us, but we talked with the family members to try to find out, and what was occurring was he was leaving his room, and there was a closet, a janitor's closet in the hallway, and that's where he was falling, and that was his attempt to get into a restroom because his restroom in his home that he lived in his entire life was in the hallway, and that's what he was trying to do. So then they were able to determine some more toileting patterns and get that adjusted and significantly reduced the falls for that specific resident. So you want to really look at those patterns and locations and determine, is there anything that you can do to adjust the resident's schedule? You know, consider the location. Does it make sense for that resident to be closer to a specific area, whether it be the kitchen, a bathroom, where the nurses are located, but really looking at that location? You know, are the doors open or closed? You know, that sounds like something pretty simple, but in a facility where they keep all of the resident doors closed when the residents are in their room, if you have residents that frequently fall, it may be, now obviously you have to use the resident preference, but being able to monitor them more closely, do the room check-ins, or if you can leave that door open, leave it open. No, looking at medications, not only antipsychotropics, but also diabetics, et cetera. Are there issues with their blood sugars falling? Is there a medical condition that's causing that fall? And staff placement at crucial times, if you've identified those times, to make sure that you're doing more frequent rounds and that the staff is positioned appropriately. You know, I think the key to all of this is thinking outside the box and not just going through the motions. And while the documentation and the incident reports are very important, getting to that root cause to mitigate the risk of the future falls is really imperative for the residents' quality of life. So I don't, Jill, I know it's getting close to quarter after, if you wanted to open it up for any questions, if anyone had questions.
Yes, I'll do that. It will take me just a second to get everybody off mute here. Stephanie, thanks. This is really helpful, and certainly there are lots more topics related to this, as you mentioned, that we'll explore in the future. Let me get these lines off mute. I think most of them are off mute now. If you have questions for Stephanie.
I doubt if anybody.
Okay, we've got it. We're getting people off mute, and there we go. Are there questions for Stephanie?
Some of those people would know something.
We've got lots of people on the call today, many, many lines. I think I've got everybody unmuted now. So, are there questions?
Hi, Stephanie. This is Virginia from Ginger Call.
Hi.
Do you have any comments about the bed alarms and their usefulness?
Bed alarms.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that you have to be careful on the use of alarms, but, certainly we have found that there are some situations, and we know that states are looking at this closer as to whether it's a restraint or not a restraint. We have seen that there are some different alarms that aren't, I hate to use the word alarming, but that aren't, they don't sound and they're not really very loud, that they are, can be an issue for the resident, that it might startle them and cause a fall where they may vibrate or trigger it for the nurses and the resident doesn't know because it's a sensor alarm. But, I think that nothing really takes place of having a good understanding of the resident's schedule and being able to go in and check on them as frequently as they may need it if they are getting up from their bed or from their chair more frequently.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Good morning. This is Lynn Holt from the Armed Forces Retirement Home, Washington, D.C. And I know we've been doing a lot of trending, asking a lot of the questions, like you say, to the residents. But one thing we noticed was that we did have a higher incidence of falls among especially residents returning to their independent living quarters after hospital discharge. And so, we were trying to put different things in place to mechanisms that, to really try to get in to do that early assessment of them upon their return, to make sure if that placement is going to be adequate for them, if they needed to be moved temporarily to assisted living, making sure they had alarms, et cetera. But one thing we find sometimes, too, is just the residents not willing cooperate, but to, work as a part of the team with us in that assessment because they just don't see that they may need to be moved temporarily, because they're just so hardcore staying.